Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, we're going to read verses 23 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 102, verses 23 through 28. Psalm 102, verses 23 through 28. I'm still getting used to this new technology age. I was about ready to correct somebody for having a cell phone out, but I realized they probably have the Bible on it. I'm getting there, folks. I'm trying not to hammer that, but it's just in me, all right? Psalm 102, verses 23 through 28. Let's read this passage responsively. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, help us as we focus on the Word of God. May our minds be alert. May our heart be intent on listening. And may we allow the Spirit to work through the words of this preacher. Lord, I don't deserve to be here. Lord, I'm no better than any person here. You've put a unique call on my life to give your people what you have for them. May we work together, and may we listen together to what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 23, He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Millions of people in America suffer from a blood disorder called anemia. Now, let me explain that to you. Anemia is a loss of red blood cells or the hemoglobin in the blood due to lack of iron. Sometimes it's caused by sickness. Sometimes it's even caused by medication. Those of you that are on blood thinners are borderline, if not anemic, depending on how thin your blood gets. I know my dad's had a couple blood clots, and he's been on blood thinners, and he struggles with the anemia. You can tell when his medicine is out of whack, and he's got too much of it because he just loses strength. I mean, he gets up, walks across the room, and he's about tuckered out, and that's not my dad. It just is the way it is. Now, because of the breakdown of the red blood cells and the hemoglobin, your blood does not carry the oxygen through your body like it should. That's why there's the weakness. And people with anemia get worn out very quickly. They often get dizzy. They have paleness, shortness of breath. And even in some severe cases, chronic anemia can cause people to even... It's kind of gross. They have a craving to eat non-food items. They'll eat paint or dirt or something like that. It creates a craving in them to eat things that I would say aren't normal, but I've seen what some people eat, and I don't know what normal is anymore. Now, because there is a deficiency of iron in the blood, the oxygen does not go to your body and give it that life-giving vigor that you would normally have. See, anemia affects your strength, and it affects every part of your body. That lack of oxygen, that lack of strength. You see, God said the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Now, here's the good thing about it. Anemia is a very treatable condition. It's very fixable. Now, sometimes, and I say that, it's not always that you totally get rid of it, but a word I'll use, it's very controllable, all right? In most cases, anemia is very controllable. It's very manageable. It takes a little extra work. It may even change in diet a little bit for you. It might require some medication for you. But it does not have to ruin your whole life. I've been in the ministry a long time. my wife and I were recently talking about something that happened, and I thought, wow, that's more than 25 years ago. Have I really been in the ministry that long? And she said, yep, but I don't feel that I've been in the ministry that long. I have been preaching for 34 years plus. It's amazing to me. My daughter was texting Christy Coral last night, and they were on their way to Ohio and found out Brother Coral is actually preaching in my church that I grew up in from 1977 to 1985. I was in that church. And he'll be preaching there today all day long. And boy, my mind was just racing. I was baptized in that church. My brother was married in that church. We put a new addition on the second floor of the educational wing. I built and was part of building that entire wing on that church building. I was on the roof. I put shingles on that roof. It's probably had a new roof since then because it's been 30 years since that went up. But I can tell you all the great hiding places for playing hide-and-go-seek in that church. I can tell you all kinds of things about that property. And my mind was just racing. That church building's six blocks from where I lived. I understand that church all too well. And I thought, wow, that just seems like yesterday. But it's been a long time. Since I have been there. Now, been in the ministry a long time. I'm going to make a statement here. Been in the ministry long enough to see that many Christians have spiritual anemia. They have spiritual anemia. I watch people get weak, dizzy, short of breath, pale, even sometimes crave weird things because they have a disorder called spiritual anemia. See, where once they may have been vigorous and full of life, they're now weak spiritually. By the way, we all go through times of this, just so you know. You have to understand, nobody's exempt from spiritual anemia, but some have had it so long they think it's normal to live with it. If you go through the Bible, look at some of the great heroes of the Bible. Did you know that Moses went through some spiritual anemia? You know that Abraham went through spiritual anemia. Daniel went through spiritual anemia. David, Solomon, Paul, Peter, the disciples, all of them had periods of spiritual anemia, spiritual weakness. Do you know that every one of the disciples left Jesus? You know, we criticize Judas Iscariot for betraying him, but the other 11 took off too. The other 11 quit the ministry. Peter was willing to believe in ghosts. Peter cussed and swore. Now, I didn't do that yet. Now, wait a minute. We all face spiritual anemia. But may I say this? There is a cure. There is a cure to spiritual anemia. I want you to listen to me this morning. You'll have to listen on purpose. But I do want you to listen. Number one, let's talk about the symptoms of anemia and spiritual anemia. By the way, I went to medical reports. I looked it up. And I have worked on this. And it's amazing how that medically and spiritually, these two things go together. Number one, weakness or loss of appetite. Do you know when you are spiritually anemic, you start losing your appetite to go to church? You usually stop reading your Bible, and your walk with God is not what it used to be. Say, how do I know I'm suffering from spiritual anemia? Let me ask you a question. How spiritual do you want to be right now? What are you doing about your spiritual life right now? And I'll tell you whether you have spiritual anemia. Folks, people who are anemic lose their appetite. They do. My dad quits eating almost when his blood's out of whack. He really does. He gets very, very weak. He'll just lay on the floor and sleep. Say, what's that called? Retirement. Amen? He's allowed to, and that's fine. But that spiritual anemia causes the same thing. You lose your appetite for spiritual things. There are people in this room you used to go soul winning, and it's been so long since you've told anybody, it's not even funny. You've lost your desire to even tell somebody. Can I tell you why? You're anemic spiritually. There are some of you that you'll come to church when you feel like it. Folks, if I came to church when I felt like it, I would not have been here this morning. You say, you? My body hurts right now. I understand. I'm made out of the same ball of dirt you are. I really am. I have the same not wanting to's that you have. But can I tell you something? I'm here. Whether I wanted to be or not isn't the issue. By the way, I'm glad I'm here, just so you know. I wasn't going to let it stop me. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. How's reading your Bible going? How long's it been since you cracked the pages of this book on your own? And not because, well, I made a promise and I have to do this. No, it's because you wanted to. By the way, I'd rather you crack the book because you made a promise and you have to than not do it at all. I've heard these idiot preachers get up, well, bless God, if you don't do it with the right motive, don't do it. They're idiots. Obedience out of the right motive or the wrong motive, I don't care. Obedience is obedience. Let's face it. I'd rather you read your Bible because you made a promise to do it than not read it at all. I'd rather you come to church for whatever reason you came to church than to not be at church at all. I'd rather you pray because you're supposed to pray, not because you want to pray, because eventually if you do those things, you'll want to. You'll want to. Everybody look at me for just a second here. Why is it, by the way, parents, you can tell if your children are spiritually anemic. Oh, do we have to go to church today? That's spiritual anemia. I thank God, my daughter's 17 years old, she's never wondered on a Sunday or a Wednesday if we were going to church. Not one time. We were back in Kentucky with my kids over the Thanksgiving holiday. Josh and I were together somewhere doing something. He said, Dad, I'm 23 years old. He said, you know, I didn't realize this, but in 23 years, never one time asked if we were going to church. He said, thanks. He said, not one time did I ever have to wonder if we're going to church. He said, I work a bus route. He said, it's amazing how many kids have to wonder whether they're allowed to go to church or not. He said, I just don't understand that. I said, I'm glad you don't understand that, and I don't want you to understand that. Just accept the fact you're supposed to be there. I said, son, I don't understand it either. I've been in church for 47 years. Well, almost 48. I said, I don't understand not going to church. I said, it's never been a part of my life not to be at church. Can I tell you something? That's a wonderful thing. When I woke up this morning and finally figured out what day it was, and finally figured out that I was awake, I realized it was Sunday, and it was, it's Lord's Day. Wow, I get to go to church. Now, I get to go to church every day, but I realized everybody else was coming today too. Man, that's exciting to me. Weakness, loss of appetite. Some of you have lost your appetite for the Word of God. I just don't get anything out of the Bible, so I'm not going to read it anymore. Well, why don't you ask the guy that wrote it to help you understand it as you read it? Well, I don't always get everything I want out of the Bible. Who said it was for you? Folks, if we would just start obeying him, he'll start revealing it to us. And I got to hurry up here. Number two, dizziness. Boy, could I go in a lot of directions on this one. Not just talking to the blondes now. Dizziness means you're not able to focus spiritually. I got to tell a story. Brother Barnes, you know what I'm talking about on this. Kidney stones. Those are the mark of the beast, I'm convinced. And when they get real bad, when they're bad enough you got to go to the hospital, they're bad. When a man volunteers to go to the hospital because he's hurting so bad, okay, it's bad. I've had more than one nurse tell my wife, having this is the man's equivalent of having a baby. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, you women are stupid. There ain't no way I'd go through that wanting to do that. No. Now, wait a minute. I've been there, and they hit you with the stuff to keep you from barfing your guts out. And they start an IV and start shoving the fenugreek in, and then they hit you with a painkiller, and then they hit you with something called Dilaudid. I don't know what it is, but I can always tell when they finally get that in. Say why? Because everything starts going. I don't know that it takes the pain away, but you don't care what happens to you at that point in time. You really don't. The last time I was there, it was about 2 years ago, I had my last kidney stone, and I told the doc, he said, so you think? I said, no, this is number 5, show you where it's at, can tell you where it's at, get me help now. He said, go ahead and start his IV, he does have a history of them, and by the look on his face and the intensity of his voice, he knows what's going on. So they stuck the stupid IV needle in, and all of a sudden, that last one went in, and I went, yeah. I said, that was the Dilaudid, wasn't it? They said, oh, yeah. I said, wow. Here's the funny part. That was on a Wednesday, and I had to preach church that night. It was 4 o'clock in the morning when they hit me with that stuff. I did preach church that night. I don't remember what I said. I really don't. I remember being there, but I don't know what I said. Now, wait a minute. Dizziness. There is nothing worse than that spinning feeling. I don't understand why people would do illegal drugs to make them feel that way on purpose. That is the most miserable feeling in the world. It really is. When everything in the world is going like this, you can't focus. You're like, okay, this is not good, all right? Can I tell you something? Pain, grief, heartache, and stress have caused you to be dizzy in your spiritual life. Some of you are spinning because of heartache. Some of you are spinning because of grief. Some of you are spinning because of pain. Some of you are spinning because you're just totally out of control with your emotions. You feel like everything's just spinning around you. And by the way, I don't know about you, that feeling makes you nauseated. Boy, you get enough of that stuff, and if you don't get that other stuff they put in there, that fenugreek to keep you from throwing up, you will throw up. Say why? Because you spin in circles long enough, it does something to your tummy, amen? That's why don't put me on a merry-go-round. Now, I like roller coasters. You can flip me upside down, up and down hills, roll me frontwards, backwards, shoot me out of a cannon, whatever it is, I like it. But don't put me on something that goes in a circle. I can't handle that. I'll throw up, you know, that quick. There's just, I can't even watch a merry-go-round. My kids will tell you. We'd take them somewhere and there'd be a carousel there. I'd tell my wife, go ahead. I'm going to turn my back because I ain't watching. You know, watching the little horses. Something about that motion just gets me. I don't watch a washing machine, amen? You say, why? Because it's too many circles in there, all right? Don't like that. I don't like spinning around in a circle. It does something to my equilibrium, and it isn't equal. It's unequilibrium, amen? Now, wait a minute. When you're dizzy, you're unstable, and it makes you grab things around you that may not be stable. Spiritually speaking, some of you are dizzy, and you're grabbing onto things, and I hate to tell you, it's going to create more problems because you haven't grabbed something that's stable. Watch people who are spinning spiritually and they'll grab on to unwise counsel. They'll listen to somebody that they don't know has good counsel at the moment and they get out of whack and they grab onto something and all of a sudden now they're falling with the person that's spinning as well. Watch people that decide, well, I'm dizzy, but I can get myself out of this, and you follow your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Watch this, lean not. Do you know why you got to lean? Because you're dizzy. Some of you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. You got your walkers and your canes and the different things that you need to keep you from being a little less stable. Boy, you grab onto something that's not stable, you're going down with it. Let's face it. And by the way, everybody listen to this statement. Some of you are so spiritually dizzy that you hold on to your past. By the way, sometimes your past is good and you're holding on to that to get you through now. Some of you are holding on to a bad past and it'll go back to what you came from. Galatians says, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? The alcohol bottle has never helped anybody. Never. Oh, be a responsible drinker. That's like saying be a kind murderer. If your government was that concerned about your health, why is it legal? 10 times as many people killed by alcohol in this country every year than there are by all of the weapons put together. They want to take your gun away, but why don't they take the beer bottles away? Why didn't they wipe the liquor off the shelves? More crime committed due to alcohol than anything else. My niece and others that I know that are involved in law enforcement, do you realize that 99% of all domestic violence involves alcohol? 99%. Dizziness. Next, shortness of breath. I like this. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Some of you are short of breath because you're not being filled by the Spirit of God. You lack yielding to the Holy Spirit in your life. Hey, look, we all get gut punched from time to time. How many of you have ever had the wind knocked out of you before? Oh, that is a wonderful feeling, isn't it? I played sports a lot. We played organized sports, unorganized sports, and made our own sports. I played football, baseball, basketball. I have been beaten in every sport with every weapon that could be used. Did you ever play golf with a baseball bat? Boy, is that fun. But don't do it in your neighborhood. Because, man, windows get broken everywhere. Now, wait a minute. I remember one day we were playing football in the backyard, and my brother is 3.5, 4 years older than I, and my brother is, well, he's a lot bigger than me. He's not fat, but my brother's about 5'11", used to go about 205, 210. I don't know what my brother weighs right now. I don't ask him, but my brother was a big boy. Man. And we were the little guys. Sam Baroni used to play on the front line of our local high school with my brother's age. Sam Baroni's dad was the sheriff of Perry Township. Sam Baroni, as a junior in high school, was 6'1 and weighed 340-some pounds. And he was fast. Now, he looked like Fat Albert with fast feet. Amen.
My name's Sam. Get out of my way.
But Sam came over and we were playing football one day and Sam landed on me. At that time, I was probably 11 years old, 12 years old. I probably weighed all of 80 pounds with soaking wet and my pockets full of bananas. Amen. And here's this monster that fell on me. There's no feeling in the world like this, because all of a sudden you're going, you can't get anything in. It's all going out, but it ain't coming back in. You're thinking, oh God, I'm gonna die right here, and this fat guy's on me. Lord have mercy. There was only one other time that I remember that it got me that bad, and we had built a treehouse. Jeff, you'll love this. We built it in a pine tree in our backyard. There is no worse tree in the world to climb than a pine tree because you just get sticky, dirty, nasty. But that was the only tree in the backyard. I was coming out of that thing and stepped on a limb that was dead. Did you ever fall out of a pine tree? It's kind of cool because it goes, doom, 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 doom. You're getting beat like a clacker in the bell the whole way down. Amen, Brother Jimbo? And there was only one spot you could fall and hit anything other than ground, and I got it. There was a little row of cinder block right there, and when I came down, it hit me right between the shoulder blades. Pow! I don't know why this happens, but when the wind goes out like that, did you ever see somebody? They get up and run. They're like, can't breathe, you know, instead of running around. Why, I don't know, until that air comes back and all of a sudden you go, okay, then you can stop. Can I tell you something? Some of you are doing that spiritually. You've had the wind knocked out of you and you're in need of the Holy Spirit. The best thing to do is just stop. Let the air come back. I asked a doctor one day, I said, can you die from that? He said, no, as soon as you pass out, you'll start breathing on your own. He said, you won't die, promise you. He said, you might pass out, but you won't die. Man, it sure does feel like you're going to. When you yield to his breath, he can reinvigorate your life. I can't tell you how many times I'm just a dead dog tired. I don't know if I can go on. I say, Holy Spirit, somebody else needs your help. I'm awful tired. Would you help me? And he says, will you yield? Oh, I have to. I think I can make it. Think I can keep going. Man, all of a sudden, I get myself involved in it. And I thought, man, I used to be tired. Man, I feel like I could tackle the world right now. Say why? I yielded to him and let him work through me. And that's what it's always about. By the way, I don't need it for me. I don't ask for it for me. I ask for it so I can help somebody else. When you're full of pain, grief, heartache, stress, If you'll ask God to give you the strength to help somebody else, not get through it, but so that you can help somebody else. Listen to me now. When you ask for God to help somebody else, He'll give you the strength you need. When you get selfish and just ask for yourself, you might not get it. Paleness. I don't know if this is the right word. Grandma used to call it looking peaked. Have y'all ever heard that term before, peaked? Say, what is that? You kind of lose your color. Kind of get real pale. I can't tell. Good night, I'm colorblind. I ain't never seen anybody lose their color. Amen, Brother Neil? Now, Brother Neil, if you lose your color, I could probably tell it. But anybody else, I'm not going to be able to tell it. Amen? But there is that color fading, so to speak. There are people who have lost their desire for doing right. Paleness. You lose that desire to stay what you once were. Yes, it hurts, but keep on going. We would call it turning yellow. Amen? You get sick and you don't want to battle. Be honest with you. I get tired of getting hurt too. I do. I'm human. I'm not afraid to tell you. I love people that end up hurting me too. But I always get alone and I say, God, I don't want to do that to you. And I'll take what I've learned and instead of doing it to that one person, I'm going to go find two or three or four people and try to help them. And if you'll help me help somebody else, I'll go get some more. And that's what I do. That's what I do. I decided I wasn't going to waste the hurt. I was going to invest the hurt. I'll be very honest with you. Not long ago, been hurt by somebody that I loved. Not my wife, not my children. There's nothing going on there, don't worry. But somebody that I loved hurt me just a bit. I said, God, I need somebody to help. Because I don't think I can take this pain without helping somebody. I said, would you give me two people to help? And in 24 hours, God gave me two families to help. Whew. I can't tell you how that got me through. They thought I was there to help them. They were there to help me and didn't know it. My helping them was the strengthening that I needed to get through the help. I had a tendency to back off. I didn't want to get hurt again. You know what? It's worth a shot. Go for it. Go ahead. Invest it. You see, some of you will not go soul winning because you're afraid of talking to other people. Can I tell you something? You're not talking to other people to show them how eloquent you are. You're out there to tell others how to keep them out of hell. You know, if I'm out there trying to promote myself, don't do very well. But if I'm out there to promote Jesus, I can handle that. Amen. You see, we need to tell the story to Jesus everywhere we go to everyone we meet. And by the way, let me say this. Christmas season and the New Year's season is upon us. Don't turn pale as a Christian when you're around your lost family members. They may not dress right, but that doesn't mean you dress like they dress because you want to fit in with them. Live like a Christian no matter who's there. They might not drink all of the things that a Christian should drink, but that doesn't mean you do what they do because they're family. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. I'm going to tell you the truth here. Some of them are going to entertain themselves with things that a Christian ought not entertain themselves with. So don't participate in it. Some of them talk about things that you shouldn't talk about. Can I tell you something? take your stand appropriately. Do you know that if I had family coming to town, I'm not going to miss church so I can be with my family? They'll either come with me or they'll stay at the house by themselves for a while. I'll be at church. I'll take my stand. I'll love them, but I'll say, got church, I'm going. Y'all are welcome to be there. Nope, we're not going. Okay, see you in a little while. Say, but what if they're offended? That's their problem, not mine. I'm going to do what's right, whether they do or not. By the way, you don't have to be mean about it. Did you know you don't have to participate in the wrong at the Christmas parties at work? Hello. I used to work in the world at one point in time. Our shop was having a Christmas party. I went to the owners. Said, look, if you guys are drinking, we can't be there. They said, we'll wait till you guys are gone before the booze breaks out. And they did. Because the boss wanted 100% attendance. I said, I won't be there if the alcohol's there. Say, you did that? Uh-huh. Guess what? You can take a stand appropriately. Now, I didn't do it with a bad attitude. I didn't do it in front of a whole bunch of people. I went to him one-on-one and said, I got a problem. You know, I'm going to Bible college. Here's the rules. I can't go to parties that serve alcohol. I'll get expelled from college. On top of the fact, I'm a Christian and don't want to be around it. I said, I cannot go. They said, because of that, and there's two or three of us in the shop there, they said, well, we'll wait till you leave, and if there's drinking, then it'll go take place after that. I said, okay, first time I see it, I'm gone. They respected that. Paleness. Okay, moving on. Next, cravings for dirt or non-food things. I think this is funny. That's when Christians start desiring things from the world. Some of you desire things that are filthy, dirty, wicked, rotten. Say why? Because you're a sinner like the rest of us. By the way, that's why your young people will listen to the wrong music. They crave things that are dirty. They crave things that are nasty. Say why? Because they're spiritually anemic. By the way, this is when you enjoy the world more than you enjoy the house of God. Some of you would rather be in the world than be in the church. Well, there's just nothing to do in the church. This is no fun. What can you do as a Christian? I hate to say this. I'm having more fun as a Christian than anybody in the world. You ought to have seen this crazy group at the bowling alley a week or so ago. I watched Leslie Rogers run up and grab the ball out of somebody's arm. Was it Marks that you grabbed? She about pushed him down the alley. That would have been the biggest strike in the world, man. He could have taken two lanes out with that one. Matter of fact, he could have covered three lanes and got a turkey all at one time. Amen? Laugh, carry on. You know, there's things Christians can do that's fun. You ought to see old people go miniature golfing. Now that is fun. Until they start hitting them down the road and I got to stop traffic to chase their ball, Kay Acker. Now wait a minute. Galatians says, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You see, though, these are the symptoms of spiritual anemia. By the way, parents, some of you need to check your kids out. We got to go to church? Oh, you mean we got to go to that activity? Uh-oh. You have an anemic young person. There is a spiritual anemia taking place. Some of you are that way. These are the symptoms. But guess what? There's a cure. There's an answer. Now I'm going to hurry through this. I got about four or five things. I'll take just a moment. What do you need to do to fix it? You need to pack your diet with iron-rich foods. You need to pack your diet with iron-rich foods. You need every service at church. You do. I need Sunday school. I need Sunday morning church. I need Sunday night church. I need Wednesday night church. It's not a matter of I want them. I need them. I don't know if you understand something. I don't have a pastor. I got a pastor me. And boy, you talk about pastoring me, that's a tough job. You don't understand something. I preach and listen to myself preach. Boy, is that scary. Now, I can't tell you that I go online and listen to my sermons all the time. Matter of fact, rarely, because I can't stand hearing my voice preach. But I preach sermons that help me, because I believe they'll help you. Can I tell you something? You need to be in church. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to have your kids in church and Sunday school every service. And by the way, next thing you need to do, you need to bring somebody with you and help somebody else get help. Did you know you get stronger by helping somebody else? Did you know that the more people you help, the stronger you will be? I made a statement a little while ago. I recently went through a little hurt period of time. Some people had hurt me a little bit. I didn't say, God, this hurts so bad. I don't want to go through this. Why are you putting me? I got alone and I said, God, this hurts really bad. Would you give me somebody to help? God, would you put somebody in my path? Did you know that within 24 hours, I met up with somebody that had a major problem? And then I met another one with a major problem. And I was able to help them, love on them. And in the process, I kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Say why? Because they needed me to be strong, which forced me out of my self-pity. I quit focusing on how bad I hurt and started looking at their hurt, realized that I could put my hurt aside for a while, help them through their hurt. Guess what? I went back to pick up mine and thought, it seemed like it was much heavier before. It's not so heavy anymore. In helping somebody else, I gained the strength necessary to carry my own hurt. I said, God, could you give me another one? And he did. And I said, God, could you give me another? And he did. Wow. Can I tell you something? When you start getting your eyes off of your own hurt and start helping somebody with their hurt, your hurt doesn't hurt as bad. It's true. Folks, I'm not kidding. I rolled over in bed last night, kissed my wife goodnight. And when I rolled on that left hip, I felt like somebody had stuck a knife in there that was broken and started twisting it in there. Either my hip was going to fall apart or it was going to push all the way through to the other side is how it felt. And I went, what's the matter? I said, just my hip. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't feel a whole lot better today. But while I've been preaching, I hadn't thought about it one time. I had to put it in my notes to remind me of it. Say why? Because I'm trying to help somebody else and I'm not thinking about it. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's how you get through it. Next, you need to go soul winning. Say, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. That's all you talk about. Soul winning, soul. Yeah, because when you start getting your eyes off yourself and start telling somebody else how to get to heaven, it sure does do something for you. Folks, I can be having the world's worst day. And if I can get my Bible open and show somebody how to go to heaven, it just turned into a great day. Y'all know what if you've ever won somebody to Christ, you know what I'm talking about. It just gives you oomph. You're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun, amen? Can I tell you why? Because God gives you that strength to go on. You need to stay in the Bible. Can I tell you something? Usually one of the first things to go in your Christian life is that right there. Well, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. You're not too busy to eat. You're not too busy to do all the things you want to do. You're not too busy to go shopping. You're not too busy to do all those things. Well, I got to have 9 hours of sleep. No, you don't. Some of you would sleep better on less sleep if you would start obeying God with what you do have. Boy, I'm going to get in trouble on that one. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Some of you need to eat from here and quit running all over the country trying to find your food. God gave you a local trough to feed from. Amen. It's called the church. I'm sorry. I was out at the farm the other day. I had about 80 minutes to hunt. I stopped and saw the farmer for a moment. And I asked him, I said, Bill, I said, do you take your cows to somebody else's fields to feed? He said, what for? I said, well, what if? He said, no. I said, do people bring their cattle over to your feed? He said, no. They have to take care of theirs. I got to take care of mine. I said, that's what I thought. You say, that's kind of a strange question. I said, why is it then that Christians want to go feed in somebody else's field? He said, that's a good question. He said, doesn't make sense, does it? I said, not to me. Well, I like this. Well, I like a lot of people, but I'm not going to their church to listen just because I want to go to their church. Now, if you're on vacation, let me know where you're going. We'll find you a good church. No problem. But God gave us the local church. I think we ought to just invest our life in it and get fed here. Amen. Can I tell you something? You can take supplements for anemia. Did you know you can take supplements for spiritual anemia? Say, what is it? Get advice from your preacher. Let the man of God help you a little bit. I hate to tell you this, but some of you just need to decide you're going to lock and load right here. I decided a long time ago, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I had a pastor call me this week. He said, Brother Bush, I'm about to leave my church. He said, and it's a church larger than ours. He said, are you interested? I said, nope. He said, you didn't pray about it. I said, don't need to. He said, why? I said, I'm right where God wants. If he wants me, he'll call me. He knows my phone number, and he doesn't need you to call me. I didn't even tell my wife about it. Say why? Because I'm not interested. I'm where God wants me to be, period, end of discussion. I'm not looking around. I don't want to go anywhere. I want what God has for us right here in little old Martinsburg, West Virginia. Everybody doing all right? Some of you would be much happier if you just settle down. Some of you men need to find a career, stay in it, lock yourself in, and hang on. There was a point in time in life where people could spend 25, 30, 40, 50 years at a job. I know the economy's different, but some of you change jobs like I change clothes. It's scary. Boy, give your family some stability. Lock in, hang in there. I'm not saying you should never have a job change. Okay, I did not say that. So if you're facing a job change right now, preacher's not preaching against you. But what I'm saying is settle in, lock in, and stay with it. Do you know I haven't changed careers in over 25 years? Brother Hawkins and I were talking yesterday about Brother Joe Boyd. How many of you know who Joe Boyd was? All right, Joe Boyd was an interesting preacher. Joe was probably 6'3", 6'4". Before he got saved, he played tackle for the Baylor University football team. And he was a Golden Gloves boxer. He brought that to the pulpit with him, just so you know. Joe was a rough man. Now, Brother Joe Boyd loved me. He loved my family. He loved my children. When he would come visit, and when we were on staff at First Baptist, he would sit on the same row with my family, right beside my wife and children. And he'd put two or three of my kids on his lap at a time and sit through church with them, all sitting on his lap. I loved Brother Boyd when he had heart surgery. Brother Hiles was at Munster Hospital with him, and Brother Hiles called me from leaving the hospital and said, Joe's in the hospital facing surgery. I just left his room. He called and said he wanted you to come. I said, excuse me? He said, get down there. Joe wants you to be there. Be there. Yes, sir. I said, we got church in a little while. He said, I don't care if you miss church. You go help Brother Joe. I said, yes, sir. I won't miss church, but I'll be there. I love Brother Joe. Now, he was rough as an old corn cob. If you've never shook Joe Boyd's hand, Joe Boyd's hands were about that long. He had the biggest hands of just about any human. He could grab your hand and wrap them up to your elbow, you know? He had a monsterly long hand. One day I was with Brother Joe, and he had been talking about, he got saved, I think 27, 28 years old, got into the ministry. I looked at him, I said, Brother Joe, I started preaching when I was 13. I said, do you know that if I am in the ministry as long as you have, I will have been in the ministry and preaching 14 or 15 years longer than you? And I was looking up at him like this. Big old tears started dripping down his face. He grabbed a hold of me. I thought, oh God, he's going to kill me. And he started shaking me. I said, now I know he's going to kill me. And he just started shaking me. He said, don't you ever quit. Don't you ever quit. We need men like you. We need men that'll do what I didn't do and do it early in life. I said, don't worry, Brother Joe. I'm not giving up. And I'm not going to change. He said, good. And he's shaking me. I said, can you quit shaking? Man, I felt like a pop bottle. And he's about to explode the top off. Wow. Can I tell you something? I'm locked in. I'm not changing. I'm not changing Bibles. I'm not changing churches. I'm not changing doctrine. We're just going to keep on doing what God said do. Spiritual anemia. Let me ask you a question. Some of you might have a case of spiritual anemia. Maybe you've not joined a church. Well, jump in. The water's fine. Maybe you just need to decide you're going to help somebody else. Come to this altar and ask God to help you find somebody to help. Maybe you're going to bring somebody with you. Good. Come to this altar and ask God to help you bring somebody with you. Whatever the need in your life, by the way, we all face these times. But you don't have to live this way the rest of your life. You don't have to live the rest of your life this way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. But I really mean this when I say this. Some of us need to take inventory of our diet spiritually and realize we've got to change it. We don't always have somebody else to rely on. It's our responsibility with our God. Who'd say, preacher, something in that sermon today, that's what I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. We're going to stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. If you need to use this altar, you come as the music begins right now.